The Edge of the Shadelands is coming up. Enough to dissuade most people from proceeding. But it's nothing to you. In fact, it's always a good place to find magical weapons left over from brave, foolish warriors who either turned to the dark or came to turn it back. The weapons always have stories. They make for nice tattoos, even if the wear or corruption on them renders them single use, dissolving them into the aether after you deploy them from your body. You adjust your levitation field. You don't want to touch the ground. Your hair is getting long, and washing corrupted ichor out of it takes forever. Maybe it's time to have one of your various thralls, you mean lovers, give it a cut later this week in exchange for a few seconds of orgasmic release. The levitation is necessary to keep the tarry corruption off you, but it also just moves a little faster than walking. Yes, unlike almost anyone else, the Shadelands hold no terror for you. But this segment here, well, this isn't going to hold any terror for anyone at all. You guess you're going to have to go further out when you want to farm the remnants of battles. Because here in the midst of a charred clearing, someone has done the impossible. The Fae-turned fury who ruled this particular border segment must be gone. There is no darkness, no ichor upon the ground. You sink down, slowly. Furies and their corrupted energy can only see people who are valid targets, so you're safe here anyway. Corruption, like every other mark and manipulation, has no purchase on you. You start looking around for weapons, but you see none. Still, you decide to inspect the signs of battle, read their story. A trick you picked up from an elven tracker long ago. Along with quite a few memories, and some delicious moans that still keep you company late at night. And using what you remember from her, you analyze. Here is a skid mark, magic left in its etchings, lightning that turned the sand to glass. Someone dodged using a shade step. Must have been a fury, right? But there's a bolt of darkness charred into the earth, aimed where the step began and then where it ends, another, glassing it in the shape of the sound of a scream. Darkness fighting darkness, an impossibility. Whatever. The other abnormality is, yeah, here's a sword. Oh, and some firewood. Someone set up to make camp here. Or maybe this campground was where the darkness began, where it first poured out of the Shadelands and expanded. A terrible fate if any campers were sleeping here when the fury arrived. You wonder who it was. It was long ago, but the darkness preserves. Could you enslave a fury? Bind her as a familiar? Anyway, a fire. If there's firewood here and it's dried by long time dimension shifted. Yeah, the moisture's been sucked right out. Perfect. You extend your hand. And wood that is basically charcoal is ignited with one of the spells contained in your body. The bound object of flame. The tattoos swim across your flesh. Buried deep in the mosaic of tats, you find the mote of flame and pull it to the surface. It's your first tattoo, or one of the first ones. You had it in the remnants of the shattered mark you once wore. Blue flames burst from you, kindling the wood of the long disused campfire. Cheery blue-white warms you from the inside out. On this breeze-swept plain, you are heated now. The compromise between wearing a sexy tunic and not much else versus being warm. Your eternal enemy. People are much easier to read when your body's turning them on. And if you've got it, flaunt it, right? Plus, if you manifest the tattoos that contain clothing too often, well, it's a waste. You save them for if you ever have to fight anyone. Though you haven't had to in a while. It's not warming you enough. You stare into the blue of the campfire. You want to inspect that blade, but you want to be warm first. An old familiar spell. You extend your hand high above the fire, where you can just feel the edge of the heat. And then, not to touch it, but to come close, you begin to know it. There's wood underneath, wood dried, cut carefully, packed for a long journey. There's love in there somewhere. Still, you smell the drying, the waiting, the flame in the wood, the joy with which someone set up to kill. Or set it up for the morning after, yes. You awaken to the desire for flame within. And this wood, there are a few dark spots, equally dry, but the edge of one was bathed in the blood of the fury who fell here. For some of that dark flame is within, too. Clinging to the desire to be lit, the desire to be kindled. You add the flame you awakened, there's a discordance there, that's why it's not warm enough. A disconnection, ah. But you know something of this now. You think back to the woman who waits even now for you to release her from chastity, in her temple of books with her dogs and her lovers and the ache you gifted her. Thinking of her, you decide that anything may grow and change, even your oldest spell. Tapping down to the wood, you find the drops of blood there. You pull their intent, burning rage, but also the desire to make the world other than it was. There's something kindred in that flame, to you, and to someone you learned from recently. The blue fire blazes, higher, hotter, red, orange, tinged with black. The heat spreads evenly, warmingly, welcomingly, surprisingly tender when it caresses your skin. You thought you'd get a weapon from this spell, from that blood. But instead, this is a hearth, Ara, a spell that warms and protects. For 30 feet around, what is no longer blue-white flame, but now rich red, orange, black, there is an even temperature, exactly as warm 1 foot from the fire, as 30 feet away. Now, that is quite interesting. Comfortable on your skin, exactly as comfortable as the living room you enjoyed sitting in the Amazon's manse. The Fury had this in her. Curious to know a household spell, and to know it so well. And now, bathing in firelight warmth, you ponder what else you might learn. You know more about fire than before, and so you could unlock more. More about the forge and the forging of self. Is it that simple to take a glyph word, a spell, and improve it? Or is something else working in synergy with you? What else might you improve? In any event, you're safe now. Safe from being a little too cold and having your nipples get all pointy for the wrong reasons. You lay back on a blanket you tug from your pack. You always like to impress by pretending you can just pull spell after spell, capability after capability. Fact is, you can exhaust them. They can get tired and old, and like you're bored of them, they can fade away. Never people, never familiars, but objects wear out. And so you have real blankets, real sheets, real pillows. Extra-dimensional storage spaces have their own rules, too, but in the privacy of this place, no one's going to come around. Lazily, you slip a hand between your legs. And as you inhale, and something of sexual musk that is not your own fills your brain, you realize the flame is putting out a heady pheromone now. Probably the consequence of thinking about the nature of flame in people. That Amazon came to mind, and your juices paint your fingers slick and dripping. With your other hand, you do reach out and turn over the sword in its scabbard. Periodic moans, though. Here in the privacy of a place no one would come near, with the trees blown back and toppled over to make this clearing, the explosive vanquishing of the fury, the few drops of her blood in the wood, now worked into this spell, probably the only remnants, and corruption does always arouse. It's an easy inroad, and that's probably why the pheromone is, even affecting you. And the sword's nothing special. Fey make, very old, no enchantment, clumsy work. Might even be some marked human apprentice's work. Oh, but the warmth turns you on. You set the sword aside, you'll absorb it, for even a shoddy elven sword is still made of a material that wards certain creatures. Oh, heat. You dive 2 fingers into your sex, slick. Where am I? A voice breaks you out of your reverie, but you don't stop touching yourself. Your perfect puffy pussy is Dripping and squeezing. A mere surprise doesn't really throw you off. You strum your clit with your thumb and shiver all over. You open your eyes to observe a black and red sprite the size of your hand, dancing above the flame, flitting in circles around it. Her eyes are pitch black, but she has the noble bearing, other than the tiny wings, of, ah, it's the fury, or the tiniest bit of her. Was it the wood, or did it fly over from some other place where it was buried underground in response to you working its mana? Doesn't matter. Time to test that theory you had earlier. You're already turned on, and you know it will be, too. You think about the fire spell enhancement you made, the pheromones which have even you moaning, dripping, your nipples pointed for the right reasons, your tongue hanging out. You don't care how you look in front of a tiny fairy. You look at her, though, a gorgeous woman in miniature, a fae. You feel the centuries upon centuries on her. The tiny wings are made of jagged black glass. You will the pheromones from the flame. Fume and pheromones, steering them only as you can. By knowing them. By thinking them. By using the synthesis of everything you've learned and absorbed. The things you merely suspect about magic, working from a savant's skill. Not from knowledge, but from instinct. And rapidly, the pheromones, these faux pheromones, are only able to be in one place. They're away from you, which clears your head a little. The only place every single particle of pheromone in the clearing can be is around that fairy. An arousing bubble that she welcomes, rubbing her skin. Oh, that's nice. She inhales. You watch her float slowly to the ground, tongue out, crawling toward your feet as you lay back. Ah, you see her hand slide between her legs, the woman on the ground crawling toward you and begin to climb your leg, and the two of you masturbate together in aroused solidarity. Her tiny nipples are pointed too. You morph your eyes to a more focused form, a form you stole from some unused place and some ancient creature long ago. You can see perfectly the dripping of her juices, the drooling of her tongue. She crawls up you with surprising speed for someone with one hand, diving fingers into her pussy, rubbing her clit in a mirror of your motion. You spread your legs. There's no need to fear anything in this world, least of all such a desperate creature. You let her crawl up your leg, and then down, between, onto your thighs. She's humping against you, grinding on her hand, using you to provide some friction to her pussy now, moving her hand out of the way, rubbing herself on you in desperate, graceless need. You move your fingers out of the way, away from your slit with regret, but also curiosity. She crawls toward it. What she must see is the source of her pheromonal mindlessness, as you make the cloud of them follow her, musk and sweat and heat in her brain. Yours, too. You return some, because it feels nice to just recreationally concentrate them. You wouldn't let the Amazon affect you, but being enthralled to yourself or to your own spell seems fine. The more she touches you, the more you know. As she caresses your skin, you rewind through her history. Darkness, gloom, boring, longing. She misses something, someone. Must be what drove her to accept the corrupting deal. No matter. She found your clit. You move your fingers completely away because you were still thumbing it a little. You let her go to work, opening her mouth, diving for the tip. Tiny, delicate fingers stroke the base of it like she's sucking at a cock. She worships the tip of your length. She weaves her hands under your hood, pulling it back, making sure every inch of the sensitive button is exposed, stroking it, fastening her lips, suckling your juices, the bit that you smeared on there. Oh, feels good. You lay back, your hands folded behind your head. The only action you undertake is the exertion of will to send more and more of the free-floating pheromones to surround the two of you. Maybe it's your favorite new spell, developed using insights into improvement and a literal application of the concept of forging magic itself around the pixie, around you. She licks your clit. You hear the slick but tiny sound with your keen senses of her grinding her hand, masturbating while she fellates you, while she sucks the tip of your little button, her other hand sliding over your pussy lips lightly. Your clit's coated in her saliva. Her face is rubbing all over it, getting your love juices there, rubbing against the top of your slit as well. She's moaning, sighing, deep, racking sounds. You enjoy and fantasize about how utterly ruined and overwhelmed her thoughts must be, how good she must feel, but then you realize you don't have to speculate. You read her mind, and yes, it is a morass of heat and honey, of delighting in your body, in her sense of you. Through your contact, you can feel it. She's in splendid pleasure, but she's also satisfied. She inhales deeply, and it isn't just pheromone, it's you. Some familiarity. Her whole body shivers, and since you're knowing her, climbing inside her senses at the same time, you feel about your body the way she does, thrilled and attracted to it. You play with your breasts and moan. The throbbing body quake of her sucking on your clit sets your belly muscles going. She sucks and moves on it. You didn't think she'd have the energy to match your fingers with so much pheromonal will inside her brain. You didn't think she'd have the will to do anything, but she does. She moves so fast, both hands jerking off your clit, but staying so well lubed up that it just throbs like a normal-sized mouth giving cunnilingus would make you feel, her tongue on the tip, then lapping up and down it, rubbing her face on it, making up for her lack of size with raw enthusiasm and something extra behind it. Ticklish, sparking, you realize you're coming up on climax quickly, quicker than you thought. So you reach a hand down and deliberately lay it across her back, surrounding her in warmth and comfort, but then force, pushing her up against your clit and slit, letting your juices get all over her body. She goes stiff the moment you do it. Every bit of her climaxing. She's gurgling, slurping, coming. You feel the convulsions, the explosive pleasure of being immersed in you. It's just what she wanted, and it increases the contact. You feel the echo of emotion, delight, wonder. Oh, coming. Coming with her, coming from her, coming alongside her. Your belly muscles squeeze, more of your juices coat her. You feel immense joy. Primal euphoria, more than just orgasm. She inhales constantly, getting as much of you into her as she can. She licks up so much of your juices, you imagine she must be full to bursting, but still she grinds, shaking, vibrating like a toy on you. Oh, fuck, the way she's coming is vibing your clit. Your nipples are hard, you taste honey on your tongue. You inhale the sexual musk of yourself, in fact, through her, and the pheromones that you've deliberately given yourself. In the air, letting yourself grunt and gasp, grinding your soft, slick slit against the horny fairy as she slurps and slumps, losing power over her muscles, over anything except the part she's using to pleasure you, a priority she's devoting all her remaining energy to, and eventually amid shaking, shuddering tension. You manage to come down, and so does she. You drag her up into your hand, hold her in front of your face, seeing her completely slicked and shining body. A goofy grin on the small fey lady's face. Her eyes shut tight. She rocks back and forth in the palm of your hand, one arm down between her legs, down between her tits. She's still masturbating. Eyes still slammed shut. You look at her as she sits there, grinding and rocking. I think you're coming with me, you say. What's your name? The fairy asks with wide eyes, your juices speckling her cheeks, her whole body flushed in the wake of an orgasm caused just by being a little too close to your pussy and grinding against you. You laugh. It doesn't matter, so you do tell her. She moans, eyes wide. At the moment you allow her to enter into your body, sliding through your skin into your hand, along your arm, becoming a tattoo, sliding, perfect detail, to your chest, onto one of your breasts. You usually keep that space empty, but she's next to your heart. A new masturbation aid and familiar. More information floods you. More of her. More of what she is. She is the simplest incarnation of the fury that was here before, and, oh, you know, this feels right. Really, right. You stop searching through her memories because maybe she's just really compatible. Or maybe it's because the flame spell is in you too. The heat starts at the tips of your toes and builds, vibrating, shuddering. Oh, you really like your toes. Your feet, too. You pleasantly remember the Amazon and her coterie worshipping, kissing their way up with wild abandon, and up your calves. Shapely, muscled, you adore them, too. In fact, a huge welling wave of love, lust even for your body, your calves, your feet, up your thighs, your knees. You love when someone massages the backs of your knees. You love your legs, that's why you always dress to show them off, but now, more so. You feel the new tattoo integrating, making room and finding its place through the many chambers of yourself, freed from the limitations others do not even know they have. The two of you together, yes. Your body, your mind, you've often glossed over and avoided considering what you really are, but you know what you are is free. And lately you've been free and happy. Oh, feeling even more euphoric helps you realize your baseline happiness has been there. That warm feeling of consideration, of admiration, has arrived between your legs. It doesn't usually affect you this way when you integrate new people, new thoughts, emotions, new learned information, assimilated tattoos, or bound entities. Your pussy, so recently adored. You run your fingers over your clit, can't help it, don't want to. Bring the slurpable, slick, liquid lust to your lips. Lap it up, delicious, need more. Fingers diving greedily, hungrily, each piston in and out is only to retrieve more honey, so you can switch hands, tasting yourself. One hand ever bringing pleasure, the other ferrying a fresh cargo of your own deliciousness to your tongue. Heady, intoxicating, were you always so good? No. Pheromones? You were immune when you were bathing in the Amazon's delicious scent back when, but now, is this some element of flame? Changing you to be more like you want to be, and maybe you want to abandon. Or perhaps it's the pheromones still fresh in the recently absorbed fae. You consider putting out the flame. No, no time for that. That wave of warm appreciation for your own body has gone past your muscular abdomen, up to your tits, your perfect breasts. In your mind, there is only the bounce of your own breasts, the way the nipples are bumpy around the areolae when they get pointed and aroused, the inch or so of delectable nub which is currently hardened to a point. As you lay on your back, masturbating, slurping your fingers clean, repeating the movement, your breasts have fallen back into your body a little bit like they do when you lay on your back. Quite nice, because you can see past them to the slick inner thighs of your raised-up pussy as you raise your knees and then lift your lower body a little. You can see yourself getting more and more turned on, the slick, shining valley, the streamers of your juices that affix to your fingers when you pull them away, the perfect mounds of your breasts always in sight. Your appreciation for yourself spreads and spreads into your hair, which falls down behind you like a mane. You lay upon it on that blanket. Your thoughts spread to your shapely shoulders, to the curve of your own neck. You remember seeing it in a stream. You remember seeing your own face, your ornamented tattoos, flare after flare, at your adoration of your own body. You love your fuckable body. You clench your ass tight and feel waves of pleasure. You love your luscious full lips, your piercing gaze. Oh, close. You are near once more, and this time it is only you, yourself, or you suppose it is less just yourself than before, now that she is joined to you. Your own delicious juices push you over. You dig three fingers of the other hand deep, pushing on your G-spot in a strangely familiar way, the loosening of your muscles everywhere except between your legs, then the sudden tightening, greasing your nervous system signals, sending you bucking, flipping onto your belly so you can squeeze your thighs tighter and hump your own hand, leaving a wet spot beneath you. Yes, the wave of climax, climactic clenching, orgasm in your sexy slit, glistening its way, delicious honey drooling over your fingers as you tighten hot. You love it so much, you never knew you loved your own body, your own taste so much. You suck the fingers on the hand that's against your face desperately, the wave of appreciation, of, you now realize, only too late, only just in time, self-love. The wave rises into your brain, your head hits you hard, hot, a shock, a jolt, running a second parallel relaxation orgasm, lovegasm, happy climax on top of the mere sexual, has you bucking on the ground with a grin on your face, coming, and you love it, coming, not the little wry grin, not the smirk, but an honest, earnest, goofy smile, loving. Oh, imagining you must look like she looked when she was sitting on your hand post-climax. You love how your thighs squeeze, how you feel the buzz in your ass, up into your ears, into your brain, how you're flushed as you clench, your mouth frozen open in an O now, no longer grinning but speechless, your hair disheveled, whole body thrashing in a sweated, intense, emotional climax. Yes, you're smiling. You haven't smiled like this in a while. More powerful than your usual orgasm, still rioting and rocking, emotions pouring, warmth, happiness, integration, completion. You're smiling. Smiles are normally to convey smugness or victory. Smiles are so seldom just for yourself, but this one is. Laughter peals out of you, giggling, joyous, groaning, climaxing, scarce able to believe. Your eyes slam closed. Your eyes are watering, weeping. You moan. The simultaneous marrying of the dual waves, the many chasms combining to become a flood, adding velocity and momentum, adding direction to your normal feelings, ascending, transcending them, until no longer can you escape and must admit. You're happy for the first time in a long time. You're happy, and the seeking, the looking, ended a while ago. You hid it from yourself, feeling you needed a purpose, but you found that. Happy since you left that library a while back. Happy since you laid that elven maiden down in her makeshift tent and taught her things she thought she already knew, actually. Happy in sun-drenched lands and rain-soaked valleys, and here in the remnants of darkness. Happy in who you are and in your path and what you have become and how you're living and in the climax. Your juices flooding past your fingers. You are literally ecstatic, driven to ecstasy, driven beyond and then deeper and deeper. And you grind your clit with the heel of your hand, and mere sexual pleasure joins the deep personal satisfaction, the revelation, the inescapable truth of your fate. To be happy and fulfilled and powerful and to groan and have to accept you can no longer churlishly, in a teenage snit, shrug off any trace of satisfaction. You must admit growth has happened, and mastery and dominion and the illusion that you are evil rather than merely opportunistic vanishes in a flood. Grass and turf are kicked at the edge of the blanket as you roll your clothing, your blanket around you, forming a burrito of heat. Pulling it around you, letting the heat of the fire spread, letting yourself be sweated, overwhelmed by your own orgasmic twitching, kicking helplessly against the cocoon. You like being covered. You like being enfolded. You like the comfort that comes of rolling yourself in this blanket. Your fate is to be happy, fulfilled, powerful, to groan as your clothing and your blanket are wrapped against you, as you pull yourself together, trying to think, and then inhaling the pheromonal scent deliberately. Abandoning thought, bringing more of your own self-control to be obliterated on the altar of flame. Finding something of its nature and deciding willingly to burn. With both hands now down there between your legs, one on your clit, one in your slit, you wish you could lick your fingers too, but maybe you'll have someone ferry them to your lips with her fingers later. You burn for yourself and with abandon. You ache for yourself and with delight. You find there's a point where thought vanishes and there is only the self-gasm, and you want to find that point again and again to discover how you might further reinforce it. You conjure the fairy. She emerges. You set her to work sucking one of your nipples, squashing herself against your perfect breasts, which give under her, knowing your own face mirrors the joyous look on hers, that here there is no need to dissemble, to conceal, to project power, because the power to reshape yourself is the greatest of all. The two of you groan, the power to define your own happiness. You moan, climax together, always together, her under your control, and yes, you get off on that control, but her slurping, her joyous delight. You kiss her back between wings that have now become softened, feathery gossamer after she emerges from your body, still black, still edged with flame, but flame that only tickles, only warms. Maybe you'll always be warm if she's cuddling against you like that. Certainly your heat is even greater than the hearth spell of the flame would justify. Moaning. She wants to slurp down to your pussy. If given the chance to taste you, you let her. Then you slide her up and kiss her tiny lips with your bigger ones. She enjoys it. You allow yourself to be played with in any way that will pleasure her, but you direct the action as you burn and you shudder. You shiver and surrender, but surrender to your own trajectory, your path defined, which you have set and which has carried itself out, and which now in both of you moaning loud enough that it's good. It's good, the fury isn't here to hear, right? Moaning. You laugh as she sucks on you. You're expressing a perfection of self-determination and pleasure, the admission of self-love and the climax that comes with it. Keeps coming, which will only make you stronger, not portend weakness, as you childishly thought before. It comes and keeps coming, and even when eventually next to a fire that burns precisely as you desire, later as you nod off, it will keep coming, the pleasures, the shivers of aftershock and after love for a long time, constant, maybe never ceasing, vibrating in that perfect memory you've acquired, cultivated, have now augmented. There are holes in her memory, but that just makes you two of a kind. A memory of something you might not quite have realized, can't decipher, but it's in there now. Now can never, in your weeping, eye-squeezing, blushing, hysterically giggling, pussy-clenching moments with her, that evening and others. A thought you can never quite, ever, forget.